Nielsen in, looking for Garza, backside and in for the first goal in Atlanta United history from Yamil Assad.
Take a look at history.
Hello, folks, and welcome to Five Stripe Final and United's only highly distributed audio discussion coming to you post-game. We are live from a Covington Wendy's here in the heart of Atlanta. That doesn't make any sense, but hey, that's where we're at. And like Michael Parker's eating the 2 for $20 by himself yet again, it's just a normal Saturday night and a normal 4-1 win for Atlanta United in this one. Easy as you like, Joe Patrick.
Michael Parker's is following the yellow brick road right into that Chili's tonight because it is paved. It was a beautiful performance tonight. Amazing win by the team. And we're live on Saturday night.
Oh, it's perfect. Yeah. It's perfect. Sam Jones here, Joe Patrick over here. We're both from DSS, of course. Glad to have you guys with us. And like we said, Five Stripes rolling. And this one, a 4-1 win over Vancouver. Things got started very, very quickly. The big moment, Kendall Waston elbows Leandro Gonzalez-Perez just right in the face, y'all. And VAR, our best friend and Joe's best friend.
I hate VAR.
Even after all that?
Yeah. I mean, just because it helps us sometimes, it's the principle of VAR that really, really grinds my gears.
But I'll get into that later. Joe thinks it helped us out tonight in a big, big way. Kendall Waston goes down, elbows Leandro Gonzalez in the face. We go to VAR. VAR correctly gives Waston a red card and awards Atlanta United a penalty. 15th minute, Joseph Martinez steps up. Easy, like, fools the keeper, sends him the wrong way, and slots the penalty right to the right-hand corner of the net. And then after that, 1-0, Five Stripes, playing against 10 men, got a whole lot of chances and just couldn't finish, it seemed like.
Yeah, it was weird. Like, I think I tweeted something at halftime. Like, I was a little unsettled when we went to half because it felt like a game that should be 3-0, 4-0, but it wasn't. It was 1-0, and usually when that happens, bad things start to happen. And I kind of related it to we were like the drunk person on St. Patrick's Day who doesn't go to bed early and decides to stay out late. And that's when bad things start to happen.
Yeah, bad things start to happen. Fortunately for us, Vancouver didn't make us pay for it.
Yeah.
A whole lot of missed opportunities there. We had a 3-on-1 at one point that we completely messed up. Tito, Joseph, Miguel all combining their own separate special way to just really fuck shit up there. It was awesome. Then Miguel.
Tito was really good on that play, though. Okay. Like, it was an amazing run. He skipped the ball past a sliding defender. It was really good, but it was just, the final touch was not there tonight.
No, not at all. Not at all. And what happened to Miguel? What's happened to Miguel when he's 5 feet in front of goal?
It's weird.
And could score goals that me and Joe feel like we could score, even though we'd almost definitely miss. But it's goals that aesthetically look like we sure could. Yeah. And a cross comes in for Miguel. He misses a tap in the night. Fortunately, nothing bad happens from it. Vancouver didn't make us pay. We go to the second half, 58th minute. Julian Gressel, who was phenomenal all night, plays in back pass, which seemed to be just the theme of the game, was Julian Gressel taking the ball on the wing, cutting in, playing a back pass, and this time it finally pays dividends. Aaron Monda of Vancouver knocks it in himself as a very Canadian goal. After all those misses that we had, the Canadians were polite enough to say,
deserve one.
I'm not even trying to do a Canadian accent, but we scored a goal, eh? And it's 2-1, or it's 2-0 at that point. Moments later, Joseph seals the deal.
It was an easy goal. 2 minutes later, and something that will get overlooked tomorrow, I'm sure, about our third goal was Brad Guzan made an amazing save right before that goal. Breck Shea had a counterattack, and he had a goal, and we, from our vantage point, which is right down there, we had a perfect angle. You could see it was going right into the corner, and Guzan just got a few fingers on it. And then it started to break for us going the other way, and it was beautiful, beautiful play and transition for us to score that goal. Yeah,
absolutely. Thought Joseph might have been offside for a second. I just timed the run really, really well, and easy finish for Joseph. That's his second goal of the night. Vancouver does pull one back, 85th minute. They just happened to break away. Andrew Carlton charged into the box, had it taken away, and a quick breakaway, quick counterattack. Vancouver finally did what we expected them to do, which was break on the counter and hit us that way. Too little too late, though, from Vancouver. 3-1 at that point. And then the big moment of the night, Andrew Carlton coming in to this one, playing across into Joseph. Just a beautiful ball from the edge of the 18. Diagonal ball right to Joseph's head. Joseph skies for it, puts it into the right hand part of the net.
Yeah, yeah, it was 4-1. Like a kind of a different delivery than we see on those cross than we see from a lot of the players. Like we have a lot of guys who like to fizz the ball on the ground or something. It was just a beautiful, nicely lofted ball right to the back post. stuck it right on Joseph's forehead.
That's everything we've been waiting for from Andrew. I mean, he was in for what, maybe 10 minutes before he did that. And yeah. It just shows just how much of an impact this kid can have just simply with his passing, just with his creativity.
Guys, after the game, you should have seen the smile on this kid's face.
Andrew Collinson is a press conference legend, by the way. Good Lord.
He does not hold back. He tells you exactly how he's feeling. It's amazing.
He talks to you
as a journalist. Like, it's amazing.
You are sitting in homeroom of your class, and you've just walked in and like saying, "What's up, man? How's it going? You know, did I kind of copy your homework?" And he's like, yeah, "Here's everything you need to know right now." Great dude. We love talking to Andrew, and I was really happy to
see
him.
The sad thing is that he's eventually going to learn not to say so much. Yeah. But so like in these moments, I'm just trying to, you know, enjoy it while it lasts until
it's gonna grow
until
right
he learns how to
eyes,
deal with the media. Yeah,
right before our eyes. It's going to be so depressing. depressing. But for now, we're extremely happy for Andrew. Joseph was also very happy for Andrew. Said he's happy to see him get an assist as long as he's giving assists to him.
Of course. So, yeah, that's very Joseph. Yeah.
He's kidding. Of course. He laughed when he said it.
Yeah.
But no, all in all, a quality night for the Five Stripes. And like we said, a boring 4-1 win. As much as a 4-1 win can be boring, the vibe felt weird all night. It seemed expected, especially after the Waston red card. The crowd kind of seemed subdued just because of St. Patrick's Day hangover already.
Yeah, if you're in the chat and you were at the game, let us know what the vibe was like tonight.
Yeah.
Because from our experience up in the press box, it seemed much quieter definitely than last game. But that was, obviously there was 30,000 more people here last game. But I felt like it was people like drunk people who came and they were all riled up for the first half, and then after they like got a two or three hot dogs in them, hot dogs, they, they just kind of snoozed. Kind of fizzled out in the second half.
Picked up a bit when Carlton came in, but overall kind of a quiet night. Like I said, as quiet as it can be for what was just an explosive win for the Five Stripes.
Well, that brings me right to one of the things we kind of learned tonight in this segment, is that it's like three, four goals in the stadium feels totally normal, which is weird. Like, normally, you know, you're pretty happy to score two. Threes, you're entering into blowout territory. You feel like you're blowing out the opposition. Mm-hmm. And it feels like we do that pretty regularly here.
It's the norm. It's the best or nothing, Joe.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. The best or nothing.
Best or nothing. But it really has just kind of become an old hat for us to be up 3-1 at Mercedes-Benz. I can't remember the last time we didn't score three that wasn't a playoff game that we don't want to talk about.
And even that game, ton of chances.
Oh, absolutely.
Like that, I mean, that was the expected goals said that both teams should have had like three goals in that game. So, it's just crazy here. It's I love watching soccer here because you know there's going to be goals.
Yep.
Well, except for in that one game. But
it kind of feels like we're starting to take it for granted a little bit.
Right, yeah.
We did take a few things away from this 4-1 win. Joe Patrick, what do we learn from this one?
Let's see. Well, I can't really read the prompter. So can I go into my VAR thing?
Can I leave for a bit and go to the ice cream?
Yeah, you want to go get some ice cream? That's fine.
Ice cream.
That's fine. Yep. So here's my thing with VAR. Yeah, it helped us tonight. It basically killed the game. If it didn't at first, then it did later in the second half. But my problem with VAR is just as a fan, I like drama. That's why I watch sports. I don't really, I'm not here to see justice served on that pitch right there. I'm here to see excitement. And when a play can get called back and you go back to review something, it signals that everything that happens in a game is not really happening live, because if it's happening live, then there's no going back, but there is going back here. In this case, it helped us. And, I think then that's one aspect of it. And then you get into killing the game early in the game. And it's like, there's still interpretation of the rules here. There's still going to be arguments about whether this was the right decision or not. I think not really so much from a lot of people watching now and Atlanta United fans, but there will be dissension from Vancouver fans, from Matt Doyle. So, you know, there's always going to be issues. And I'm just not a fan. I'm just not a fan. I like things that happen live. I like the ref to have real responsibility in the moment and to make big decisions.
They were out of ice cream.
Oh no, I'm sorry.
I got a Coke though.
Okay.
I think I'm okay.
You got your sugar?
Are we done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay, cool.
We might revisit it later.
Oh gosh. All right. Well, VAR at least worked out for us tonight, which is positive. And we also learned that McCann, we were kind of worried at the beginning when we saw the lineup. just to see McCann in there instead of Garza. Yeah. Tata said immediately post-game that McCann was in there because he was tall. He was good at being tall.
We talked about this extensively this week on Dirty South Soccer, the fear of Vancouver's height. And I mean, yeah, when I first saw the lineup, I thought, okay, he's injured. He's definitely injured. If he wasn't injured, he would definitely be on the bench. I don't think he was on the bench.
He was on the bench.
Oh, he was? I'm an idiot then.
So, yeah. Garza was in the 18, so it was purely a tactical decision from Tata to put McCann at wing back, and he was perfectly serviceable throughout the night.
He was.
I mean, he didn't do anything to make us too mad, I don't think. I can't remember
the
time where I felt frustrated with McCann.
He frustrates me a lot, and tonight, not one bit. I think, you know, left back, I think that's his best position.
Every time we've seen him look comfortable, he's been at left back.
Yeah, and especially at the left wing back, I think you have a little more protection because you've got that center back kind of behind you giving you cover.
Yep.
I don't think he didn't really create a ton going forward, but he had some moments. He had some moments making a tackle up high or something. So, I mean, I thought he's serviceable. He's fine. He's exactly what you want from a squad player. I mean, we could talk about his salary and yeah, that's not ideal, but you know, it is what it is. And you at least want players who are giving you some sort of production. And so at least we can get something out of him.
Yeah, absolutely.
That sounds really bad, but.
We've said much worse things about Chris McCann. Don't worry, Chris McCann and Gressel, both very, very good tonight, combining
very good
for that thick 3-5-2, that thick with two C's. So thick.
The width
coming
on that formation.
The width was phenomenal
incredible.
All night. Gressel especially. And I think we'll talk more about him
as
the night goes on. But we also learned that, once again, we said this last week against DC, we kind of go to sleep at the end of games.
Yeah, definitely.
Especially when
definitely
we're feeling really
tonight.
Comfortable, and it definitely happened on the goal in the 85th minute.
Yeah. No. I don't know what to do about it. I mean, it's not going to kill you.
No.
But
just make sure you're up enough at the end of it. Just keep being up 4-1, 3-1.
The players weren't day drinking, were they?
I sure hope not.
If they did, they're more talented than we thought. Mm. But
yes.
Yeah, we fell asleep a little bit. But then we came back. That's why you're so tired
today.
That's
why I'm so tired today. Yes, that's exactly it.
But, you know, it was good to see them come back, though, for at least after that to score the goal after they conceded. It got a little hairy there. You know, it was like 3-1, and then I think they had another chance come
off the post right after that?
Yeah. So, anyway, something to work through.
But it's whatever.
Little worrying.
Parker said after the game too, the first thing they were going to work on is this: as we go into an international break, is fitness. He said fitness. Unfortunately,
yeah,
that's exactly how he phrased it. So they'll get to work on that, and it shouldn't be a huge problem in the grand scheme of things. But what may be problematic is our listener questions.
What?
We had a few.
What? Oh, problematic?
Yeah, they might be problematic.
Okay,
they sometimes are.
You want to get into?
I don't trust any of them. Yeah.
All right. Why not? Turn the brightness up on this a little bit. There we go.
Classic HDAC content.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. All right. So, who's that? Oh, I love this guy's Twitter handle, The Logan Nerd. Said, did anyone
find the number of perfect balls from Julian Gressel? That guy played out of his mind today. Has to be the Lorenowitz man of the match. Well,
you may
just be right, Logan. We'll get to that in a little bit. But yeah, he was absolutely phenomenal. And I said in the middle of the week that, you know, with the back line of Vancouver being the third stage of an anamorph human to giraffe transition, you know, they're big, tall guys. If you can make them chase, if you can get them moving backwards, make them start running and, you know, really have a lot of width going through things. Gressel was going to be huge playing balls in and getting them out of position. And every single time it seemed like he touched the ball, he was finding someone inside the 18.
Yeah, it was great when a long diagonal pass would be played to him and he's just in that wide open space out there. And he closes in the box and then he's got the chance to either shoot at the far post or it's a kind of a cross. It can be either one. It's both at the same time.
Yeah.
It might be going in or, you know, you can have a Joseph or a Tito sliding in on the back post to clean it up and finish it. So, he was great. Perfect role for him. Better than the right wing that he was playing last year when Tito moved up to replace Joseph when he was hurt. This is ideal for Gressel. And he was getting back playing defense. You know, he had several ball recoveries, too. So he's a great two-way player. And I just think it's the perfect role for him.
It fits his skill set, and he showed it again tonight that, you know, he's going to be successful. We keep going this 5-3-2, and we can trust him.
He's going to create a big debate that's going to happen when Barco's ready to return. And I have my thoughts
on
this.
Are y'all excited for that one? That one's going to be just a whole lot of just fun, toxic commentary for
right,
a whole
right.
lot of folks. It's going
to
be great.
But hey, guys, we have a $15 million player that, is yet to come into this team.
Yeah, already, which is a good problem to have, I guess. It's kind of amazing.
The tingling. The tingling.
We really need to talk about that and get you on a prescription or something.
All right.
We'll figure it out. Our next question comes from at WilliamHD on Twitter. Says, Waston's set piece foul on LGP happens every week around the world and is extremely rarely called, much less bringing a red card. Could this be the dawn of a new era of cleaner play due to VAR?
Yeah, I kind of went into this earlier. I mean, I don't know. Like, maybe. But I don't like how the rules are kind of changing on us. Like, cleaner play, I don't know. I don't even want to get into this. It's too much for me right now.
And I'm going to go ahead and disagree with William here and say that that's definitely a foul everywhere. He'll hit him in the face.
It's a foul. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree.
You know, red card may have been much, maybe?
Yeah.
I wouldn't call it a
knock. Okay, my bigger issue with the call tonight was the red card. It was not okay. It was not the penalty so much. Sure. I mean, that's... Okay, I don't like it at all, but right. I can deal with giving away the penalty. But giving the red just changes the game. And yeah, you might like be on a mission to clean up the game longer term, I guess, from like physical center backs. But I mean, we kind of, I don't know, I like physical center backs. Like those, they're part of the game. They bring value to a team.
The irony, the beautiful irony of this all is that we spent all week just moaning and complaining about how tall Vancouver was. Waston elbowed someone in the face essentially just because he was like 4 inches taller, and that's where his damn arm was. It just came back and popped LGP.
The height ended up helping us. And then we didn't even have to go against Kai Kamara, who was one of their taller players.
That
was amazing.
That left room for people like Felipe to do Felipe things.
Oh, yes.
We may get into that
a little bit later. Felipe,
we had some
talk.
Fun quotes from that in the post game.
Oh yeah, that would go into our next listener question from AUFC Flyer that says, "Why is Felipe such a punk?"
That's a great question. I don't know what happened.
Oh, I'll tell you why. Because he kicks people. He kicks people, and he fakes injury, and he's exactly the kind of player you want on your team.
Yes, we would love him to death.
I wanted us to sign him. When there was the rumors of Felipe going to Vancouver, I really wished he would have come to Atlanta because. That shit frustrates the hell out of people.
Sure.
And it's amazing.
But it may not have been well received in the locker room if Felipe had joined Atlanta United.
Oh, that's a good point.
A few of the quotes from the post game were saucy, shady, that sort of ride. And Michael Parkhurst, especially.
Yeah. He went right in. I don't know what he said, but I don't want to say. I don't know if he didn't call him a punk, but
he was like,
he's been doing it for years. Mm-hmm. Somehow he gets away with it. I just love the passive aggressiveness of it all.
What was amazing to me, he didn't mention his name until we asked.
Yeah, like, who are you talking
about? That guy's just that kind of player. That guy does that all the time. And that guy, you know, tried to start a fight. Which guy? Felipe. It was Felipe. I just looked this right in the eyes and said that. So, you know, may not have been well received, but, you know, he is what he is, and fortunately, no one got in too much trouble trying to fight him off tonight.
Yeah, I mean, maybe
Felipe, Jeff Lorenowitz comes up to you and tries to give you a helping hand, and you say no, and you turn away from him? How dare you? How dare you, Felipe?
Yeah, what?
Knock if you buck, Felipe. Knock if you buck.
Yeah, but I mean.
I will. Yeah.
Yeah, and Felipe, he's a punk.
Ah, whatever. Moving on. All right, our next question comes.
He drew a red card, by the way, on Carmona last year in the first game of the season.
Do
you remember that?
That's absolutely right. Carmona stepped on him. And now it's starting to see. It's a much clearer picture of why that happened.
Oh, I miss Carmona.
Oh, God. Good dude. Good dude for stepping on Felipe for sure. The next question comes from IMCM45. Concussion aside, how great was Escobar tonight? And Escobar, I haven't really noticed a whole lot from him. I haven't noticed a whole lot from our center backs because we've just had so much possession for so much of the time.
Yeah.
Did not get an update on Franco in the locker room. Don't quite know what's going on there. I'm sure he was undergoing kind of concussion
protocol. I did put a word in with the team. Let's see if they have responded.
Oh, this is fun. We're checking live news.
The team says nothing yet. They're waiting. They are also waiting
live
on the prognosis as well. There
Never
you
mind.
Go. Boom. That's it's journalism. The update is that there's no update.
The update is there's no update. So we don't know quite about Franco yet, but when he was in, he did take a knock from, did Guzan just essentially punch him?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, it was like an elbow, like a flying elbow right to the jaw. Yeah.
Awesome. So we may not see Franco for a little bit, which means the Sal Zizzo era begins. Get excited. Joe just clenched. I can see it.
Okay. Yikes. Well, I will say about Franco Escobar, it was pretty fun to watch him making overlapping runs, overlapping Gressel. Like when Gressel would pinch in, Franco Escobar, the center back, is out there bombing up and down the field. But no, in all seriousness, I thought, he was pretty obviously. I called him skittish after the Houston game.
Okay.
And I think progressively he just looks more comfortable, and you kind of can tell because you don't really notice him out on the field as much. Like, and that's kind of what you want from a center back, right? You just want him to cleaning up plays, and to not really be calling his name that much. Because if you're calling his name, it's probably for a bad thing, considering he's a defender. So
exactly, everyone was steady tonight at center back position. Of course, that one mistake that led to the goal, but besides that, everything rock solid at the back tonight from the five stripes. The last question comes from our very own Rob Ushery, who asks, "Where should the Carlton statue be put at MBS?" And I'm thinking, Joe, we make like a first of its kind hanging statue. We run some cables and run it like above the stadium and like elevate it. So like when the roof opens,
oh my gosh. like from the heavens.
Yes.
Like
and we can play appropriate music as well. The lights can go on Carlton right there. And oh my God, the tables are back.
Rotary Club. Rotary Club meeting Mercedes is happening.
Benz, how do we get in on the Mercedes-Benz potluck? Do we have to be like a Freemason, Illuminati? What in the world is going on at the tables back here?
Do you think this is where like Arthur Blank just like invites dinner guests over? It's a pretty
Does
sweet...
Does he live here?
Who knows?
I feel like a teacher, like they live at the school. Possibly. But yeah, that's my recommendation for the Carlton. And when at night we lift it back up and we shine spotlights on it, it's just the beacon for... Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
If that's not logistically feasible, I say just put him right.
Why would it not be?
I say just put him right in the tunnel, Joe. And just and have the players like rub his head or something on their way out. Nice. Like play like a champion.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I love it.
Scruff up his hair. You know, like he's your buddy.
He is like, our buddy. He is. He is our buddy. He loves us.
He does.
We love Andrew.
Yeah.
We love Andrew. Another person we love. Arlo Runowitz, men of the night. These are the underappreciated players that you may not have noticed, who we noticed because we are up here in the press box and we have access. And that's just the kind of insight we like to give you here on the world's only HDAD five-stripe final. Joe Patrick of Jersey South Soccer, the one and only. Who is your Runowitz man of the night?
Trademarked. My Runowitz man is Leandro Gonzalez Perez. That's because you didn't notice him, right?
Sure didn't.
Yeah.
Not much.
That's exactly what we were saying about the center backs. You don't want to notice them, all right? Mm-hmm. No, I thought he was great. I thought his distribution was good. I thought it was a huge improvement over his first two games, especially the first game. But, you know, I feel like he's steadily been improving, which is kind of what he did last year, too. He was a little skittish at first, and then he started to get better and better. And I thought he was really good. He's so good at taking on that responsibility of man-marking, like the key striker, and he's just all over, you know, whoever it is. I don't even know who they had up top tonight in place of Kakamara, but and Parker's, you know, his role is kind of sweeping behind and cover for him. So I just thought he did it very well today. Controlled the game with his passing from the back. You know, that was something we did a lot in this game, especially in the first half, was to utilize that extra man that we had by just, you know, keeping possession back. So yeah, I thought he was great. He was my Runowitz man.
All right. My Runowitz man, we talked about it a little bit before, but my Runowitz man, Julian Gressel. Julian Gressel was phenomenal tonight. We talked about it before, but again, just getting into these wide areas, spacing himself very well. Five stripes were very, very quick to find him tonight, especially with long diagonal balls, those Hollywood balls, Steven Gerrard balls, whatever you want to call them. We found Gressel a lot tonight on the wing. He was able to cut in, make a whole lot of really solid passes, and really cause a whole lot of problems. And he's also a Runowitz man because I totally called that in the beginning of the week. You guys should follow me at @J_SamJones on Twitter for that kind of insight, and LeVar Burton memes as well. But yeah, Julian, phenomenal
the best.
Tonight. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You want to go on to our quote of the night?
Yeah, we had a whole lot of good quotes tonight.
There were so many good quotes, guys. Like,
so many.
People were so happy. The players were so happy after the game. I think they were just kind of speaking their mind.
Do you want to kind of run through some of the more interesting ones?
Yeah, let's just go through.
We had a few tonight that we can kind of just
discuss. Yeah, for sure.
Out. We'll end with our quote of the night.
Right.
But one of my favorites, I asked Joseph Martinez. We were talking about Joseph being frustrated as the night kind of goes along. And I kind of asked him, what's your inner monologue night like when these things happen, when you aren't scoring goals? And the first thing he said was, am I allowed to say it here? And of course, you know, yeah, classic Joseph.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just went on to say that, no.
Justin was like,
no, no. No, just went on to say that he gets frustrated. And it's just this kind of thing that he lives to score goals, essentially. And his mom feels sad when he doesn't score goals, is also what he said.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's good to see that kind of passion from Joseph as always, but it was kind of interesting to kind of get some insight into what he's thinking. And it's really just, it's anger, it's frustration all coming into one thing. He lives to do one thing, it's score goals. And that showed up. And it shows up in the stat we found tonight. Joseph Martinez, of course, with a hat trick. It's his fourth hat trick in his career in MLS. That comes in 23 games.
That's like less than one in every six games.
23 games.
So that's incredible.
There are 34 games in a season.
We might have to do some stat digging this week to find out kind of where this stat lays in the history, the annals of MLS, because that is crazy good. Absolutely. It's got to be some sort of record.
Absolutely. I put the over-under for Joseph this season at 23 goals, and I picked the over pretty easily in my head, even though I put the over-under on it. But still, more than 23 seems very, very possible for Joseph. Golden Boot seems very, very possible. He's in the lead right now already with four. Well, who's going to slow him down?
Yeah, and going back to his quotes tonight, I thought it was great because I really want people to understand his mindset. I know a lot of people get frustrated with him, with his kind of basically his demeanor on the pitch, especially when he's not doing well. He just really wants to score goals. And he talked about that being his job, you know, and he said he didn't say anyone, but you kind of get the point where if you and your work are not doing well, you're not happy. You're not happy about it unless you hate your job.
Right.
But he sees it as he said, I see scoring goals as a passion. And it's my job. And if I'm not doing my job, I'm not happy. And Parker said it too. Parker was talking about, he was asked about Joseph's goal scoring exploits. And he said, yeah, he's crazy. In training, he's like going full bore all the time. And if he's not scoring, he's raging mad.
Even in like the mini games, he said, like when everyone's just like messing around and playing like 2-on-5, if Joseph isn't scoring, Joseph's angry.
He's not at training to just kick a ball around and kind of have fun with his friends. He's there to he's at training to score goals. When he's driving in, he's like, I'm scoring some goals in training today.
It's like one of those robots whose only purpose is to pass butter. And like if they're not doing that, they're upset and they get like really existential and start violating all sorts of laws. But Joseph, his one purpose is to score goals, and he's not doing it. He's real upset. He's real upset and does not pass the Turing test.
Yeah.
So
what else happened in the locker room? Anything? The Felipe stuff? We kind of already covered that.
Yeah. Yeah. Leandro
Gonzalez Perez looked adorable coming out of the shower. He had his towel wrapped around
the first time with the media. We caught a whole lot of Leandro.
It was so funny. That's how I would come out of the shower when I was a kid. You know, you're like frigid cold when you step out, so you wrap the towel around your shoulders. That's exactly how he was talking to the media. He was just bundled up. It was really funny.
I see you, Max Shirley, on the chat. All right. But yeah, Leandro was always good. It's always good to see him speak in English too. We've talked a bit about that and how he's kind of been able to learn English since he's been here, and did a good job kind of explaining the Waston thing, the Waston elbow to his face. It had gotten right in the jaw. And yeah.
He's okay though.
It's all good.
That's good news.
All good. All good. All right. I think that's going to wrap it up for us.
What was our ultimate quote of the night?
Our ultimate quote of the night comes from the one and only Andrew Carlton, who we are hanging a statue of in the middle of Mercedes-Benz Stadium right behind us. His quote. Well, this quote actually comes from...
It's like, he's relating the quote.
he's relaying it to us from the one and only Chris Gosselin, the best bromance on the team, in my opinion, now that Branton is done, that Brandon Vasquez and Anton Walks aren't together anymore. But Chris Gosselin comes up to Andrew Carlton after the game and says simply...
You say it.
I'm pausing.
Okay.
Bro, I see you get that dime. And that's it.
Damn.
That's it. That's our whole quote of the night.
That's amazing.
That's all Chris Gosselin had to say to Andrew Carlton. And it's just enough. Oh, our thing of the night, by the way, Andrew Carlton and his Gucci clutch that he had in his locker. It's amazing. Andrew Carlton is every bit of everything you would expect from a 17-year-old with way too much money. It's perfect.
He's exactly the person you see running around on the pitch. Like, he expresses himself so well on the field. That's how you know, because he's exactly the same way in the locker room. Like when you talk to him, it's a treat.
Absolutely beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. All right, that's going to wrap it up for us here at Five Stripe Final, live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I'm Jay Sam Jones. That's Joe Patrick over there. Shout out Ryan Catney. Shout out Jason Isbell. Shout out Jid. Shout out Donald Glover. Shout out Kendrick. Shout out Dan Harmon. Shout out Ben Jones. And shout out to the one and only LeVar Burton. LeVar, I know you're listening.
Shout out Jorge Thieler. A big shout out to Justin Velhuis for getting his ass on TV tonight.
Yeah,
that was amazing.
That was awesome.
Shout out Chris Raimondi, and shout out Payson Schwinn. Rest in peace.
We miss Payson.
I miss you.
Tonight. Absolutely. Payson. We miss Payson. Congrats to Justin, by the way, for getting on Fox Sports South. He's the translator for the team. If you don't know that, that's Justin.
Yeah, if you ever hear us talking about Justin, you know his face.
Yeah. So he helps us out there. He talked to Jillian today on TV and did a good job. Nice job. Everyone did a nice job. Nice job, everyone. Nice job, you. Nice job, listener. Nice job, Atlanta United. That's going to wrap it up here for Five Stripe Final. Once again, Five Stripes winners tonight, 4-1. Have a good night, folks. We will see you later.
Bye. See ya.